This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Del Harris joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. This is the Wendy's Big Show. Former NBA head coach of your Milwaukee Bucks, and also coach of the Los Angeles Lakers in the early part of Kobe Bryant's career. Del, really appreciate the time today for the fan.
Certainly. Thanks for calling.
It obviously a trying day. What was your first reaction yesterday?
Well, you know, my first was because it was just unconfirmed and so forth. I got a call very early on, and so I was just hoping that it really, you know, wasn't the case, or so on and so forth. And anyway, as information trickled in, it's just... it was bad, but it got worse once you heard that his daughter Gianna was on board as well, along with, you know, other people, that nine altogether. It just went from five to nine, and, you know, is just a very incredible thing. The two youngest players I coached in all my years in the NBA, whether as head coach or assistant coach, were Kobe and Moses. And both of them died now well before their time, you would think, would have come about.
Coach, talk about that whole process when you and Jerry West decided to make that move to get Kobe on draft day. Obviously, you coached his dad as well, so you knew the family from the jump start.
Yes, in fact, people have been asking me what was my first impression, when I first saw Kobe, assuming that it was after we had drafted him. But the first time I saw Kobe, he was 4 years old. And so my first impression was that he was cute. and then, of course, we brought him in for a tryout, look-see before the draft. And he worked against Michael Cooper, who had been out for 3 or 4 years, but still, you know, was had been a all defensive player. And Kobe, even at age 17 at the time, was very, very capable of getting a shot off against Michael. And anyway, it was a big price that we paid after having that workout, and that cost us a really fine player in person in Vlade Divac. But we, worked around talking to people and got an agreement from Charlotte that if they would take him in that 13th pick, provided he got there, we would give them Vlade Divac. And so that's the way it turned out. And there was some talk back and forth, that got out and about in the public, true or not true, but that didn't want to go to certain teams, that might have drafted him, such as the Nets, for example, at the time. But in any case, we were able to get him, and obviously it's quite a thing to have a player like that for 20 years there at the franchise.
Dale, and you talk about that, but what do you think, because I just saw just a overwhelming sentiment towards him from younger players last night that probably, I don't know if a lot of these guys knew him, but it just felt like it was a it took a huge toll on the NBA last night. I almost felt like the NBA should have canceled the games last night because everybody was just kind of upset. What has Kobe meant to the NBA? I mean, did we know it was his legacy or what he meant to the NBA was bigger than what it is or what we saw yesterday from all these younger players?
Well, for good or for bad, I think that his legacy as a 17-year-old and 18, actually, by the time he got in the game, but was such due to his hard work, his focus, his intensity, his competitiveness, is something that helped drive this one and done that we've had, you know, since, you know, so many kids have picked up that workout and process that he did and have developed the ball skills and overall skills that have enabled so many to, while they don't skip anymore, they do, you know, 1 year later, they're coming in. And he and Garnett, you know, came out about the same time. And that was well after Moses and Bill Willoughby and Daryl Dawkins, but it didn't catch on with those guys. But with Kobe, Garnett, they were so stunning right out of high school. And they were vocal, and I think it had a lot to do with just the increasing the abilities of young players.
Talking with Del Harris, former Milwaukee Bucks head coach, also the first head coach that Kobe Bryant had in his NBA career here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Coach, by the way, we appreciate your time, your respect and everything. One of the things for me, being a lifelong Laker fan growing up, the one thing I thought about that made me feel at peace is what him and Shaq did. They eventually squashed all the beefs. They sat down. They had a conversation. They put everything behind them. I think that was one of the best things that I went back to look at.
Yeah, that shows maturity. And you could see the maturity in Kobe as he progressed. His focus in the first 8 or 10 years was really to be the best he could do to every day and to win every game. And you better get on board with me, if you're a teammate.
Right.
Because, I'm not taking anything less than 100% I'm given. Let's go. And I think his last several years he mellowed out and certainly has become a much more sociable, passionate, and others-oriented person the older that he got, and certainly after his retirement. But relative to that breakup between those two, I have said many times that it's my opinion, no one will ever know, but that if they had found a way to stay together, that they would have won 6 or 7 of them together.
Mm-hmm.
He got 5 anyway, and Shaq got 4 or 5, I forget now, but they did win some apart, but they could have won them together.
Coach, when you had Kobe early on in his career, and obviously he wasn't playing probably as much as he wanted to play those first couple of years. What was he like to deal with off the floor by not essentially getting his own way and being out there as much as he wanted?
He was perfect. And so was Joe. I mean, people wanted to think that Joe would interfere or this or that simply because – we had a relationship. He had played for me, and actually had had his best pro year with me, which was his last year in the NBA, but then played a lot of years in Europe, which is why Kobe grew up a good bit of his youth in Italy. But, Joe and Pam were good. And Kobe, he definitely wanted to play more. There's no question about that. And he competed hard every day to get that. But there were some things that worked against him, two or three things. Number one, what worked against him was at the two and three positions, and he wasn't physically up to NBA standards as a three when he came out. He was only about 175 pounds. He didn't come in with a man's body. He came in with a teenage body, unlike LeBron, who came in, you know, with a 30-year-old body. And he's still 30. But on Kobe, he was light. We had Cedric Ceballos and Eddie Jones, who were all-stars from the year before, in which we had won 53 games. Now, coming in, Kobe comes in at the same time with those guys as all-stars and Shaq coming on board at the same time. So this was not a do-over team. This was not a cellar dweller. This is a team that was, young as it was, we were, you know, fighting for a championship. And that year, we won 56 games that first year and 61 the next. And Shaq missed 31 games that first year and 22 the next, and we still won all those games. And the third thing that worked against Kobe was that his eagerness to play didn't allow him to be patient enough to wait until preseason started. Just a few days before it started, he played in a pickup game on Venice Beach and broke a hand and didn't get preseason. He didn't get training camp. And he didn't get a play until the second game of the season, and it was for real. And he didn't play much, 3 or 4 minutes, and didn't score. And he played the next time, and he got his first point, which was a free throw. It was the third game before he got a basket. But as the year went on, he just got better and better through his hard work. And the last 22 games of the season, he averaged 10 points a game and 3 rebounds, 3 assists. He became an important part of the team in the rotation, so that by the time the playoffs came, he was a big part of the team. And then the next year, he only started one game because, we'd brought in Robert Horry instead of Ceballos, and we brought in Rick Fox, who, was a real developed man, and both Horry and Fox were great defenders, along with Eddie Jones. And, Kobe was behind in the defensive area because of his youth and so forth. So anyway, but having said that, he averaged about 27 minutes a game. He was our third leading scorer at 15 points a game off the bench. And he made the All-Star team. He was so popular with the kids who elected the team that year at by picking up ballots at McDonald's. And he made runner-up Sixth Man of the Year. So he was a big-time player on that in that second year, and averaged over 15 a game. And then his third year, I was only there for the first dozen games, but he averaged 20 in that third year and started every game. So, and I want to tell you, that third year, he averaged 10 rebounds those 12 games I had him. 20 points and 10 rebounds. Can you imagine that?
You know, and you talk about him that way, Dale, and you're popular with the kids. And it just feels like the guy, all these, the younger guys are in the NBA right now. It feels like all those guys were idolized Kobe as they were growing up. There were a couple of guys from the Boston Celtics which were taking pictures with Kobe when they were little. So all these guys, these younger guys now are in the NBA were idols of Kobe. And maybe Kobe was an idol of Michael, it felt like, maybe.
No doubt about that. And I can tell you for sure that I watched him many a time on flights, running the tapes of Michael, He studied Michael. He had done so for a few years, and he knew his every move. He could do them. That turnaround jumper on the middle post game, you know, that Michael had, he got that perfectly, and all his ball handling skills, and became actually a little bit better ball handler than Michael. And Kobe was a good defender. Michael was a great defender, but Kobe, when he had to lock somebody down, could do it.
So, and then I got you on the phone. This may be a little bit off topic. My daughter played basketball at Evansville University down in Evansville, Indiana. And they used to play at this place called Roberts Stadium. And I was walking around Roberts Stadium, and I saw this huge plaque or on the wall, I guess, representing you at Roberts Stadium. What's your affiliation? What's your affiliation with Indiana, the state of Indiana? Are you guys from there?
Oh yeah. I was from Southern Indiana. The Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame and Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame and the Southern the Evansville Area Baseball Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay.
Big time, boys. Big time.
Yeah, your son don't tell us nothing about you. Your son never tells us nothing.
It's shocking. All of a sudden, walking around the state, my dog's playing basketball. So you just walk around, you know, go get some food. And I go, oh, my God, they got a huge thing up here, you know, representing Dale here. You just wonder what the affiliation. Nice. Yes, Southern Indiana. Yeah, Evansville University. Although now that stadium has moved, I think they're at the Ford Center now down in Evansville. Yeah. I don't know if you get back there that much.
Well, yeah, I do. I do every year a couple of times. So, yeah, we have the Southern Indiana. We have a meeting there of so-called Southern Indiana legends every year. You know, we call ourselves that. And so we have that every year at Huntingburg, Indiana. And then we also, the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame's Southern Indiana golf event fundraiser is in Washington, Indiana. And that's about 40 miles north of Evansville, and I have a niece and nephew that live at Evansville and so forth, so that's where I stay when I go up there.
Coach, before we let you go here, and we understand your affiliation still across the game and everything, but one of those guys that we see in this town taking that mentality that Kobe had seemingly every single day, and we're going to hear from him coming up next, is the reigning MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo. And all your years of coaching basketball and being around the game, have you ever seen a player like that?
Well, yeah, I've seen two or three players like that, except they were three different guys. You had seven footers that could do certain things, and you had six footers that could do certain things that he can do, and so forth, and big guys, you know, bulky guys that could do things that he can do. I'm talking about the ball handling, scoring, and rebounding. He can do it all. So he is incredible, and he's a defender, and so he's terrific. I wish I could have had him, but I'll tell you, before I hang up, I got to say I am proud to say that I still am the coach with the winningest percentage in the Bradley Center, and that will never change.
No chance.
And I think my teams still hold the consecutive home game victories stretched over two seasons, but 18. I don't think that's been broken yet, but proud of those things and my time in Milwaukee and our youngest son, Dominic, who also does basketball now. He lives in L.A., but he was born in Milwaukee in 1990 when I was coaching there.
When the last time you were back here, Dale?
Last time I was in Milwaukee. It's been a while. I used to come. They used to invite me to back when Herb Gold still owned it, to the Mac golf fundraiser and such, and Steiny would always send that invitation out. But once the ownership has changed, I've never heard much from them. But I wish them well. They've done great things. I mean, having the best record in the league right now. How about that?
Right. It's awesome.
It's incredible. Coach, we really appreciate the time today, and I understand how difficult the day is, but we really appreciate your perspective today.
Well, I appreciate your concern about it all, and thank you for having me on. I'm glad to reconnect back there. Hopefully I have a friend or two that's listening.
Well, you got more than two, Coach. We really appreciate you for sure. Thanks for all you've done for the Bucks.
Thanks, Coach. That's former Milwaukee Bucks coach and also former Los Angeles Lakers head coach and a myriad of other organizations. Del Harris joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You like that word?
I like
it. Your passion outgrown your home, a Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com. Simply local lending since 1935.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.